Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome to the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. If you don't know me, my name is Steve Collier. I'm one of the elders here, and I will be preaching today. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you that we can worship you here today. Father, we enjoy the beautiful snow that you sent yesterday, but we're glad that we can drive safely here this morning and have a warm place, a nice facility, and look at your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. My topic today is that God offers hope for mental illness. Yesterday, we had a mental health workshop. I want to thank John and Mimua Yang for organizing that event. If you were unable to attend, we recorded it, and hopefully we'll have it up on our website soon. And I urge anyone who suffers from mental illness or has a family member or loved one who does to listen to the workshop. Mental health spans a broad range of topics. And the workshop covered issues ranging from addiction, depression, anxiety, behavioral issues, trauma issues, so a lot of things were covered, and I think you'll find it very helpful. Mental health is a difficult topic to discuss. I think people are generally less willing to discuss mental illness than, say, to discuss physical illness. And people usually get lots of support for serious physical illnesses, like cancer and other things like that. But unfortunately, often people with serious mental illness and their families often get less support because of a reluctance to talk about it. And if we're honest, it is somewhat uncomfortable when we hear that a family member or a friend suffers from mental illness. That's harder to deal with than physical illness. We don't know what to do or say. I think especially for the older generation like me, there's a stigma often associated with mental illness. I had mental illness in my family growing up, and you didn't talk about it. You know, when there were crises, you couldn't tell the neighbors what was the cause of the crises. That didn't happen. I think the younger generation is better with this, especially with things like talking about depression and anxiety. But I think for virtually all of us, if I said the word schizophrenia, you know, that would still frighten us, and we wouldn't be sure what to do with that. So that's what we want to talk about a little bit today. And my main point, if you remember nothing else, is that God offers hope for mental illness. He really does. He can handle anything, and he can help us with anything. Amen? Turn to Daniel chapter 4. Okay. In preparation for this sermon, I read up on literature out there about the Bible and mental illness. And some folks think the Bible doesn't really address the topic, but I don't agree with that. I think the Bible does address the topic. I think society has been aware of mental illness for a long time. Modern medicine has certainly made great strides in understanding and treating it better, but the struggles of people with mental illness have always existed and been recognized, even if people didn't know exactly what to do about it. So we're going to read about one such case that happened 2,500 years ago. Daniel chapter 4. Verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. Amen? Okay, Nebuchadnezzar is praising God for the things God has done for him. Now, if you know the story in the previous chapter about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you might wonder, why is Nebuchadnezzar praising God? Well, let's look at it. Verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my palace and prospering, and I saw a dream that made me afraid. As I lay in bed, the fancies and the visions of my head alarmed me. So So Nebuchadnezzar had a very troubling dream. I actually had a troubling dream this morning. No, I'm not going to tell you about it. We have those. And he didn't know what to do, but he already had experience, if you read back in chapter 2, of dreams predicting the future. So he asked all his wise men, and none of them could, just like chapter 2, none of them could answer what the dream was about, except Daniel, the man of God. So let's read Daniel's interpretation of the dream down in verse, 24. This is the interpretation, O king. It is a decree of the Most High God, which has come upon the Lord my king, that you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and you shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and 7 periods of time will pass over you till you know the Most High rules over the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. Okay, not a very good prophecy about the dream. Okay, and this came true. Reading down in verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. The king answered and said, is this not the great Babylon which I have built by my mighty power, a royal residence for the glory of my majesty? While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox. And 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know the Most High rules over the kingdoms of men and gives it of whom he will. Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men. He ate grass like an ox. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. Okay, so what happened here, as we'll see, is Nebuchadnezzar was stricken with mental illness. He lost his reason. He lost his mind. And people, it was a very serious problem where he could no longer function. He could no longer do what he did, which was, you know, even though he was a very difficult man to deal with, he was the powerful and successful ruler of a great empire. But people didn't know what to do with his condition. And so they drove him out, and he had to live out in the woods with the animals and became like an animal. So what happened? Let's read in verse 34. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. He does according to his will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, the majesty of splendor returned to me. My counselors and lords sought me, and as I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me than before. Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar turned to God, and his sanity was restored. His reason returned to him. The mental health problem that he had was solved by God. Amen? So my first point is, God offers hope for mental illness. Same as the topic of my message. Okay, God helped a pagan, ungodly man with his mental illness. If God did that, he can help us too. Amen? And no matter how much mental illness might negatively affect our lives, with God's help, we can bounce back. Like Nebuchadnezzar here. You know, in the depth of the illness, it may seem like life will never return to any semblance of normalcy. I saw that growing up, but it did for Nebuchadnezzar. He came back. He had been removed, but he was restored. It says he even had more greatness than he had before. He was able to do the same things he did before, return to his role as emperor of the Babylonian Empire. So this example of Nebuchadnezzar should give us hope. No matter what we might struggle with, or a family member, or a loved one might struggle with, God can give us hope. God can help us. God can turn the situation around and give us ways to cope with it. Amen? Amen. Okay, turn to Lamentations chapter 3. It's a couple of books before, just between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. If you're using an electronic device and you get to choose your translation, you might want to choose the ESV, and then you can read exactly what I'm reading. The book of Lamentations was written by Jeremiah, and it's talking about the fall of Jerusalem, the destruction of Jerusalem, 590 BC. In the book, if you read the whole book, Jeremiah tells of priests being killed in the temple area. He tells of young virgins lying dead on the street. The walls were knocked down. The city was destroyed. It was, in fact, our friend Nebuchadnezzar who did this. As my mother-in-law used to say, he was not a very nice man. And Jeremiah experienced that. And he had prophesied about it, predicted it, tried to warn people about it, but they didn't listen, and it happened, and Jeremiah had to experience it. As I've said before, I think Lamentations is the saddest book in the Bible. Jeremiah expresses how he feels about these terrible events. And let's read in chapter 3, starting in verse 1. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand, and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stones. He has made my paths crooked. He is like a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He has turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me as a target for his arrow. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. Okay, a very sad passage of Scripture. I am not a doctor, but Jeremiah sounds seriously depressed. He lives in darkness without any light. He feels physically sick. He feels bitterness. He feels walled in. He seems paranoid. He's full of fear. He's a laughingstock. He's full of anxiety. He's cowering in ashes. He has no peace. He has forgotten what happiness is. And perhaps you can relate to feeling it like this at times in your life, or a loved one has felt this way. And we can certainly feel that way from passing from time to time, but some people have these feelings much more powerfully. And Jeremiah had an obvious cause and stressor, and sometimes we do too. Things in our lives, maybe over a period of time or from our past, can weigh us down, and we can feel like Jeremiah is feeling here. As some of you know, Lamentations 3 is my favorite passage in the Old Testament. It has the greatest meaning for me. And you might be thinking, Steve, you can't be serious of what you just read. But we're going to read the next few verses. And Lamentations teaches us how Jeremiah dealt with his depression, his fear, his paranoia, his tremendous anxiety. Excuse me. Lamentations 3:21 through 24. But this I call to mind, and I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Amen. Jeremiah found hope in God, in the steadfast love of the Lord. Mercies of God are new every morning, right? However bad it may feel when you go to bed at night, God's mercies are new the next morning. The Lord was his portion, source of emotional well-being. And therefore, as he said, he could hope in God. So why does Lamentations make me so emotional? I mentioned I had a lot of experience with mental illness in my family growing up, but I always thought I was immune. But I wasn't. I too suffer from mental illness. I have lost my mind twice in my life, somewhat like Nebuchadnezzar, and had to be hospitalized. Once it was only one night, but the second time it was for a week. My diagnosis is bipolar. I suffered severe manic episodes. My doctor said the mania would have ended in severe depression, except my wife got me to the hospital both times, and I was treated before the depression hit. I take medication to prevent mania from recurring. And praise God, I've been free for it for several years. Like Nebuchadnezzar, I was able to return to the same responsibilities I had before my mental health experiences. God put me back in my family, my job, church, all the responsibilities I had before. God did that. Okay, my second point is God offers hope for mental illness. You may have heard that somewhere before. It's similar to my first point and the title of my message. Like Jeremiah, I found the hope in the steadfast love of the Lord. And if you or a loved one suffer from mental illness, I hope the song that we sing based on those words will always encourage you. Encourage you that the steadfast love of the Lord is there, and it's new every morning. Amen? Amen. Okay, turn to Matthew chapter 4. Now, that's not all. There's more besides. We have more than what Jeremiah had, okay? We have Jesus Christ. And we have the gospel of his grace. We have the kingdom of God. We have blessings and promises from God that Jeremiah didn't know, that hadn't yet been revealed. So let's read in Matthew 4, 23 and 24. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him. From Galilee to Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. You know, Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God. Right? He proclaimed the kingdom of God, the good news, the gospel, that he was the Messiah, that he was establishing the kingdom that had been prophesied in the Old Testament. And we get to be a part of it. You know, we get to be delivered from the Satan's dark kingdom, dark dominion of this world, and we get to be transferred into God's glorious kingdom of light. And that's what Jesus was proclaiming. And that should encourage us tremendously. And then he was able to heal every disease and affliction, all different kinds. People oppressed by demons, epileptics, paralytics, every kind of disease. And I believe this included mental illness, that Jesus could heal every kind of disease that was brought to him. They may not have understood it, they may not have given it the category we do, but he healed everything that was brought to him. You know, it talks about demon possession, and I believe demon possession in the Bible is real. And I know severe mental illness can affect people in similar ways, like we saw with Nebuchadnezzar. You know, he lost his mind and had to be driven out and live with animals. But Jesus can heal everything. He can heal everything. He could heal those possessed by demons. He can heal every other disease. You know, there's the story of the Gerasene demoniac. He could not be bound with chains. He lived among the tombs. He cut himself. You know, it was demon possession, but it could just as easily be a description of severe mental illness, right? But Jesus healed him. The Bible says he was restored to his right mind, just like Nebuchadnezzar and just like me. Amen. So my third point is, yeah, you're getting there. You're getting there. Okay. You know, Jesus and the gospel and his power can heal us and help us, help us overcome. And, you know, let's remove any stigma and help each other. Amen. Right? We can pray for mental illness being healed just like we pray for physical illness being healed. Jesus heals all kinds of illness. If we suffer, let's ask for help and support. And for the rest of us, let's make it safe and easy for people to ask for help and support. We don't have to act weird. Now, the workshop yesterday provided lots of guidance on how we can help. So, you know, if you weren't there, use the opportunity to go back and listen. It provided lots of ways you can talk and ask questions and encourage and support and be there for people. So let's use those resources and let's help each other. Now, I wanted to just be clear that, yes, we should certainly pray, and Jesus can heal things, but, you know, modern medicine also provides help for mental illness. And I'm not saying prayer should be the only answer. Okay? Here are four scriptures that give examples of people using medical treatments in addition to appealing to God. Some of these are real-life things. Some of these are prophecies of heaven, but they talk about using medicinal treatments to help. And I take medication for my condition in addition to praying to God that I won't suffer any relapse, and we can pray for people. We pray for people with physical illnesses, and they also seek medical treatment, right? And the prayers may actually make the medical treatment work better, right? That's how God can use anything. And so let's pray for people. In addition to medicine itself, professional counseling can also be important. Many of you know Mike Shapiro. He was an elder in the church of Athens before he moved to North Carolina. He also has a PhD in psychology, and he and his wife have a practice. He's currently a director of a clinic in the Duke University system in North Carolina. And my daughter Allison suggested I ask him for his perspective, and he provided me the following quote. Every health disorder, mental health disorder, has psychological, social, biological, and spiritual component. No one, whether they're disciples of Jesus or not, will make optimal progress unless all four dimensions are addressed. Now, for those of you who were at the workshop yesterday, they said almost the exact same thing. It's like a quote. It must be a famous quote among mental health professionals. So, you know, you want to deal with all four dimensions. And that would include professional resources, if that's what you need. Don't be shy about seeking out the help that you need. Amen? One little caution. I think we should avoid self-diagnosis, right? If we have a serious problem, we don't need to wonder or think we got to figure out we need to go get help. But sometimes we might not have a serious problem. We might feel blue or anxious or overwhelmed, and it's just a brief period in life, and that might not be a mental illness. So I don't think we need to jump to the conclusion that I'm depressed in a clinical sense. Only a mental health professional can diagnose mental illness and provide medical or counseling solutions. Amen? And so if you are feeling down and blue, don't isolate yourself. Don't say, I don't feel good, I can't, have relationships. Seek out your close relationships. Rely on people. The workshop yesterday, over and over again, emphasized how important relationships are to our mental health. Amen? And don't neglect church or family group activities or, other things you do with other disciples. I know it's sometimes very hard to get here if you're feeling down or you're feeling blue. But come here. Being at church helps us with both the spiritual, the most important dimension up here, but also with the social component. It helps us strengthen our relationships. And I think worship can help our mood. It can help elevate our mood if we're struggling, as we turn to God, as we praise him like Nebuchadnezzar did. And obviously keep reading the Bible and praying. Pray to God. Don't neglect those things because you're feeling bad. Amen? Well, let's turn to Philippians 4, and we'll close out here. This verse helped me tremendously when I was in the mental hospital. I read it every day and prayed for God to provide me what is promised here. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication or petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. No matter what's going on, we can rejoice in the Lord. No matter how difficult life might be at the moment, or even for a period of time, we can rejoice in the Lord. We don't have to be anxious or consumed by anxiety. That might be something we struggle with, but we can, with thanksgiving, pray to God and be thankful. Thankful for the gospel, the kingdom. Thankful for the grace and mercy and forgiveness that God has given us. Thankful for the hope of heaven that we have. That we will one day walk on the streets of gold. That we will one day receive healing from the leaves of the tree of life. Amen? Amen? And it says if we do that, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Guard what? Hearts and your minds. And that's what I prayed for, that God would guard my mind against the things that were, banging against it. I've had a little fun with having only one point today, but it really is true that God offers hope for mental illness. Amen? He offers peace that passes understanding to guard our minds against anxiety, depression, things that weigh us down. With God's help, we can overcome these things. We can be thankful, we can rejoice, we can have peace. Amen. Now we sing another song about the peace that passes understanding and the joy that fills to overflowing. And I don't know, some of you might remember, I once wrote a new verse to that song. And I taught it to the church, but it didn't catch on. So I thought I would bring it up again. okay? The song is called The Gospel in a Word. You know, love, joy, hope, peace. And then I've added this one about hope. And we're going to sing this song in a minute here after the sermon. And so I hope this song will encourage you too. Okay. Again, my point, my only point, my every point, is that God offers hope for mental illness. Again, I hope that what I've shared today from the scriptures, what I've shared today from my own life, will really emphasize this fact that God truly does offer hope for mental illness. Amen.